And a good afternoon, everybody. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm good. How are you?
Warm.
I know.
Yeah, a little toasty out there.
I know. I don't want to rush fall.
Yeah.
But also.
Well, yeah. You don't have to shovel this, though. That's the good thing.
That's
about
true.
It.
Yeah. And air conditioning.
That's right.
As long as it's still working.
Well, you know what a good way to cool off is?
What's that?
With a tall glass of milk. And that leads me right into the topic today. We're going to be talking dairy.
You're also going to have a bunch of people looking up the scene from Anchorman where he says milk was a bad choice on a hot day.
Well, I'm one of those guys that still likes a glass of milk once in a while. So
you are.
There are a few of us still around. So
that's right. And You're pretty knowledgeable on this topic. And I've had a handful of people lately who have cut dairy out of their diet for a handful of reasons. Some good reasons. Some maybe not as good of a reason. So I thought we could talk a little bit today about kind of the times that cutting dairy or reducing dairy might be beneficial for people. But if you don't need to cut it, there's also a lot of really good stuff in it. And the research behind it is really strong. And sometimes people get concerned about nutrition research because it's often funded in part by the food industry, right? But a lot of the research on dairy is not funded by the food industry. So if we're worried about that kind of influence, it's not there in all of these. But dairy has kind of been villainized in a few diets lately, too, where people are cutting out different kinds of dairy or they feel like they're supposed to drink almond milk because it's healthier or something like that. I know there's a big lawsuit about it being called
It's not
milk.
Really milk, you know.
But yeah.
There was a big to-do about that.
There was.
But I guess it still can be called that.
It still can be called that, yes.
But it's not really milk.
But it's not.
It's hard to milk an almond.
It is. Yeah. It is hard to milk an almond. It is a little bit different. So, first of all, times that it might be beneficial to cut out dairy, or times that I might even recommend people cut out dairy, or try a little time without it at least. Obviously, cow's milk allergy. So we have a kiddo in our house who can't have dairy. That's not uncommon in little kids. Oftentimes, kids grow out of that by around between ages 2 and 5. But cow's milk allergy, obviously, I would recommend we don't have dairy in that situation. Another one is something called eosinophilic esophagitis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty familiar with that,
right? Pretty familiar. I did a paper on that back in college.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah. Eosinophilic esophagitis is basically an immune reaction in the esophagus where we have a lot of eosinophils, which come from our immune system, reacting in the esophagus. So it can make it difficult to swallow or can cause a lot of extra reflux, things like that. Sometimes dairy can be a trigger for that to get worse. So in those situations, sometimes we would cut out dairy. It can be a trigger for reflux itself in some people, or even increased mucus production. So people are clearing their throats a lot. Sometimes that can be cut back by reducing dairy, particularly milk. In that situation, cheese and things like that don't tend to trigger the reflux or the increased throat clearing as much, but they can. And there are some pain conditions that can be worsened by dairy for some people, but again, that's kind of a very specific scenario. And then in lactose intolerance, lactose comes from milk. So our lactose-containing milks or yogurts or ice creams or things like that can be problematic, but we can avoid just those high lactose dairy options or take something called lactase, which is the enzyme that helps us break down lactose. And oftentimes people can tolerate dairy if they have that lactase. And then obviously if people are choosing veganism, we wouldn't have dairy. Dairy comes from an animal. So the thing is, if we don't have one of those scenarios or an appropriate scenario to cut out dairy, especially in kids, but in anyone, I really don't recommend it. And one of the things we see when we do research specifically on kids with allergies, the research indicates that particularly cow's milk allergy is associated with decreased growth in kids. So we know that in those who have to avoid it, we see impaired growth, especially weight for length. So if your kid doesn't have to avoid it, we don't want to impair growth unnecessarily in those situations. Really any elimination with children, if we don't need to do it because of an allergy or an intolerance of some sort, we really don't want to eliminate any kind of real food type things. If you do have a child or if you don't tolerate dairy, super important to work with a registered dietitian or a nutrition expert that's familiar with formulas, dairy alternatives, all of that kind of stuff, because really our dairy alternatives are pretty inferior when it comes to nutrition. So it's not that they're bad foods, almond milk, coconut milk, oat milk, those types of things. They're not bad by any means, but they're not going to replace the nutrition that we get from milk. So sometimes they're fortified, or often I should say they're fortified with calcium, but they're pretty low in protein and fat, and they tend to be pretty low or pretty high in additives like different kinds of gums to give them their texture. And often they also contain added sugar. So we don't want to do too much with added sugar, as we've talked about many, right, many times.
Not a good thing.
And 3 cups of milk, which is kind of what's recommended for adults. If you did 3 cups of a sweetened milk alternative, that's pretty much your limit for the day on added sugar. So nutritionally, we're just not getting the same thing from our dairy alternatives. Soy milk is the closest. But in general, we really need milk to get all of the vitamins, minerals, all of that that milk gives
us. I guess when I was growing up, the big thing was calcium, you know, for your bones that you got through milk.
Absolutely. And we do know that when things occur naturally in food, for the most part, our body tends to use them better than things that are fortified or supplemented. So even if your almond milk is fortified with calcium, getting that natural source from cow's milk in some situations can be better. Yeah.
Now, what do you recommend as far as, there's skim milk, which I call white water.
You do call it that.
1% and 2%, which is my preference. And then there's
whole milk.
So
yeah.
What's the differences and what's better or worse there, do you think?
Yeah, great question. So any doctors that are listening might not agree with me in my next one. But there is a lot of evidence that's come out, especially in the last 10 years, that those higher fat dairy products are not associated with a lot of health problems. They're not what's associated with weight gain. They're not what's associated with increased cardiovascular disease or diabetes. In fact, a lot of times those higher fat dairy products are associated with lower risk for some of those things if we're eating them or drinking them in the appropriate quantities, right? So we can't have just dairy and meat and expect to have health. We also have to have all those vegetables and nuts and fruits and seeds and things like that. So again, it's not that dairy itself is going to be the end-all be-all of preventing chronic disease. But regardless of what type of milk you choose, it can be a great part of a balanced diet. So the research doesn't suggest currently that high-fat dairy products are problematic, so 2% or whole milk. It's just being mindful of how much you're taking in. If you're drinking a gallon of 2% milk every day, that's probably not what I would recommend.
Yeah, I'm not quite up to that.
Yeah. But
just
if we're
a glass with a meal once in a while.
Yeah. If we're at that 2 to 3 cup equivalent of dairy in a day, keeping in mind that dairy is milk, it's yogurt, it's cheese. But it can be a great part of a healthy diet.
And yogurt's great for your gut health. We've talked about that before.
Yogurt is great for your gut health. Regular yogurt, probiotic, added yogurt, all of it is wonderful for gut health. Yeah.
Also, I learned when we had our new puppy, yogurt is good for dogs.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So give your dog some yogurt.
That's right.
A good treat.
That's right. Yogurt can be a great option. Even last week, we talked a little bit about some frozen yogurt, like real yogurt, treats that you can make at home. And on these hot days, something like that can give you a lot of nutrition, can help keep you full, because a popsicle is not going to keep you very full.
No.
But a good yogurt that's got prebiotics, probiotics, fat, protein, that is going to keep you full and satisfied.
Yep. And your gut's going to be feeling great.
That's right. And you're going to feel nourished and refreshed and cooled down.
That's right. And that's the real benefit of a glass of milk to me now on a day like this.
Yeah.
Is just it's refreshing.
It is refreshing.
Yeah, it is.
It's nice and cold. Dairy should be cold.
That's right.
That's right. Most of the time.
Good thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Amber, good topic today. If anybody has any questions on dairy or anything else dealing with nutrition, they can feel free to give you a call.
That's right. You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or on Facebook at imunutrition. You can call here to the radio station to get my contact information, or call up to the clinic if you want to schedule an appointment.
All right. Then we will talk to you again on another Taco Tuesday next Tuesday afternoon.
Sounds great. Thank you.